Please stand for the reading of the word. We are in John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17 this morning. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Be seated. Thank you, Jason, buddy. I appreciate you being up here and leading us out. Listen, that video, my goodness, there's all kinds. I have to offload here for a minute. Give me. There's all kinds of voices out there, aren't there? I mean, they're coming from all different directions. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, Paul said that the wisdom of this world is folly to God. And that's why we're starting this new series today. It's called More Than, and we're gonna be jumping into what does the word of God have to say to us about the most important relationships in our lives. You know, we've just come out of a series called Integrity 101. We've been walking through Psalm 101. We've been looking at the integrity of our heart, the integrity of our eyes, the integrity of our lips, and how all of those play out and they give us an influence. Well, you realize that influence is only seen and activated and lived out in the course of relationships. And so we said, listen, why don't we dovetail this with a series on the most important relationships that we have in our life? And so over the next couple of weeks, beginning today, we're gonna be talking about our relationships with friends. We're gonna be talking about our relationships in marriage. We're gonna be talking about our relationship to our spouse in the context of a sexual relationship. We're gonna be talking about kids and children and how God's ordained that we raise them up and what does that look like so that we have integrity. As we each week we talk about the relationships that we have this direction and horizontal relationships. We talk about our relationship to God the Father, the vertical. For the next 4 weeks, we're gonna take a few moments and we're gonna kind of camp out, if you will, and we're going to look at what does the Lord have to say? What does he expect of us? What has he given us in these gifts of relationship? And so today, Jason, thank you for reading. That's a background passage that we're going to get to. I want you to put a mark, a finger, a ribbon or something, bookmark that, however you do that in your Bible. And then I'm gonna ask you, if you will, to turn over to the Old Testament. We're gonna be in the Old Testament today, focusing on a passage in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, if you're not familiar with where to find 1 Samuel, it's right after the book of Ruth, and ironically, it's right before 2 Samuel, all right? And so if you're not sure how to find that, open up to the book, to the very front, to the table of contents. You can turn your Bible on if that's how you like to use it. And I want you to be able to see what it is that we're gonna be talking about today. The passage, this focal passage that we're kind of camping out in is all about two men and the relationship that God gave them, the friendship that God gave them, how he brought them together. And it wasn't just a friendship, it was a uniting, if you will. It was more than just a friendship, it was like family. And isn't that what we all want? We want friends that feel like family, not just acquaintances. Listen, you may have 500, 600 friends on social media, certain platforms and those types of things. That's not what we're looking at today. What we're gonna talk about for the next few moments is the type of friend and what does it mean to be more than a friend, but have a family of friends that feel like a part of your family. And so as we look at that, I want to point out a couple of verses because the Bible talks about, before we get there, the Bible talks about, if you're taking some notes, write these down so that you can go back and see them. The Bible talks about a lot how friends and family go together and how our friends are many times like families. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 17, the writer says, "A friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity." A friend loves at all times, and there's a brother who is born. That friend is a brother who was born for the moment you've been into. Proverbs 27, verse 10 says this, "Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away." Better is a friend who is near than a brother who is far away. And isn't that true for a lot of us in here who weren't born here in this area? You've come here from all around, and you're dying for a friend that would be like a brother. Notice what Proverbs 18:24 says. The writer says, "There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. All of us are longing and dying for friends that aren't flaky and fickle, but are more like family. Someone that we can depend on. Someone that is near and dear. Someone that is close. Someone in the middle of the night, you feel comfortable enough to text or pick the phone up and say, "Hey, I need you." Well, I think the passage that we're gonna read here in just a few moments gives us some characteristics. It gives us some pictures of what that might be like. I'm gonna begin reading. We've already read a passage. I'm not gonna ask you to stand back up. So if you will, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, we're gonna look at verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. So let's read. The first characteristic that I want you to see if you're taking notes is this, is that true friendship is intentional. True friendship is intentional. Look at verses 1 and 2. "As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Verse 2 says, "And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house." The context here, if you were to look back at chapter 17, is the young David, he has rolled up in to go see his brothers who are fighting against the Philistines. And there's this Goliath, this giant. And he's there and he's wondering, why is nobody going after this giant? Because he is cursing the God of Israel. Why is nobody doing that? Everyone's standing back, they're cowering. And the reason they're cowering is because this, neither King Saul nor Prince Jonathan, they were too scared to stand up for the Lord God, for the God of Israel, and go fight the giant. And as a result, you know what was happening? The army that they led were doing the exact same thing. They were cowering in the back. Well, I don't wanna have to repeat the entire story. You know it, we all know it, that young David, he takes his sling, takes his 5 stones. He puts a sling into the stone into his sling. He starts running to the battle. He slings it. He slings 1 stone and it embeds into the head of Goliath. He falls down, doorknob dead. David runs up to him, takes Goliath's own sword, chops his head off. And all the while, all the army of God, the Israelites, King Saul, Jonathan, they're standing there with their mouth wide open. What in the world is this? In fact, the scripture says that Saul looks at his general Abner and says, "Who is this?" Abner says, "I don't know." He says, "Go get him." So he goes and gets young David, brings young David to Saul's tent. And the picture that we have is this, is that young David is standing in the tent with Saul, King Saul, Prince Jonathan, and Abner holding the head of Goliath. And in there, something happens. Look what it says in verse one again. It says, "After he spoke to Saul, Jonathan's soul was knit to David's soul." Listen, I don't have a clue. The Lord God didn't give us what it is that David said, but here's what we know. In that moment, whatever it is that David said, the Lord God did what only he could do, which is soul work. You realize nobody can do soul work except God. He's the one that moves on the heart. And the scripture says that all of a sudden, God knit Jonathan's heart to David. If you've got a pen or a paper or something, marker, circle the word knit right there. Circle that word. It says he knit them together and gave Jonathan a love for David that was instant. Have you ever had a friend connection? Guy, girls, guy with another guy, girl with another girl. You've had a friend connection. It's like you rolled up into a place and all of a sudden you've met someone. You're in this business lunch or you're at a club or something and you meet someone and you go, it's like, oh wow, this is easy. There's easy conversation. There's connection over ideas. There's connection over places that you've been. You may have even known some previous people and you're standing there thinking, oh golly, this is like a brother from another mother. This is a sister from another mister. We've got something right here that is happening. This is kind of what's going on right here. The Lord God unites their heart really quickly. In a moment. Now, I don't know what happened. I don't know what was said. Probably by this time, Jonathan already knows that King Saul's kingdom has been ripped from him because it was a very public thing, chapter 15. And now then David goes out, he destroys people. Everybody is excited. The army is, they're pumped up. And maybe in that moment, Jonathan says, he's going to preserve the kingdom. And out of that, their hearts become knit together. God intentionally brought these two men, Jonathan and David, together, and he knit them together like only he could do. Notice again in verse 1, I think there's something here that's very unique. It says that Jonathan loved David as with his own soul. That's twice. He's knit together their soul, and it says he loved David. This word loved here gives the connotation. It lets us know that there's an action that's going to happen. In fact, we'll see it in just a few moments, that Jonathan intentionally loved him. He made a decision in that moment when God knit them together, however God does that, because he's the one that's responsible for soul work. When he knit them together, it says that Jonathan loved him. Now, I have to speak to this for just a few moments. And the reason I need to is because, you know, in the last 10, 15 years, there's a narrative out there by certain segments of the population that want us to believe that Jonathan and David had a homosexual love relationship, that this is what this is, that as you look through their lives and their stories, that this is what this is. I can tell you, I want to say, that is how dysfunctional sexually our world is. To cause us to think that two men or two women can't have a deep friendship without there being some kind of undertones of sexual intimacy. Folks, that by no means is this what's happening. In fact, I think I could say David was probably more of a polygamist than he was a homosexual. He had 8 wives, all right? In fact, he ended up marrying Jonathan's sister, okay? What we're seeing here is something that only God can do. God is bringing together, he's knitting together, intentionally knitting together two men for, and I wanna say this, this friendship is bigger than a hang around the fire pit. I'm sure there was a lot of hangs around the fire pit with them, but this is bigger. You see, God is intentionally bringing these two men together because he has a plan. He is interweaving. Literally, he used the word knitting. He's knitting together like grandma would knit a blanket or a cap for your head. He is intertwining their lives so that as one story goes up, another story goes up. As one story happens, another story is intertwined with it. Can I ask you this question? Do you have a friend like that? Do you have a friend that you think about immediately as I'm reading this, as we're talking about it, that you would say, oh gosh, yeah, this first name came to my mind, that the Lord has knit me together with them. Can I tell you that is a gift if you have it? If you can name who that is, if you can think about that, if you can name, this is the person, that is a gift of God that he has intentionally given you for your good and for his glory. He didn't just give it to you so you got a good hang. He gave it to you because he intentionally has something in mind for that relationship. When I was growing up, the King James Version is what I learned, Proverbs 18:24 on. And Proverbs 18:24 in the King James says this, he who has a friend, he who wants a friend must first show himself friendly. Some of you in here right now, you're thinking, I don't have that. I don't know who that would be in my life. I desire that. Can I tell you that this is the push that I would give you today? If you can't think of someone right now, my push to you is that you need to get involved intentionally looking for who that person is going to be. Because real, true friendship, a friendship that is more like family, it takes intentionality. It takes me stepping out and looking, me being willing to step into someone's life. And here's what I know. At Life Point Church, our desire is that you be a friend and become a friend and find a friend that is intentional like this. Not just an acquaintance. We want you to be connected in. Do you know, statistically, we know that if someone does not find a friend, a connection. In fact, people who do these types of studies religiously say that a person has to have somewhere between 5 and 7 friends in a church or they'll bounce really quickly. You know, as I talk to people who are no longer around, and I had a conversation with 2 different people in the last month who are bouncing. I'm not talking about moving to another city. I'm talking about bouncing. Hey, what's going on? Where are you connected? Are you in a small group? No, not a small group. You in a D group? No, not a D group. I haven't seen you in a few. Well, there's no friendship connection. There's no intentionality of pushing in. Listen, if we want to have true friendships, there has to be intentional. Here's the second characteristic that I want you to see. The second characteristic is this, is that true friendship is loyal. True friendship is loyal. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 goes on. Remember, the Lord God knit their souls together. In fact, at verse 2 tells us, from that day forward, David didn't go home again. He stayed with Saul. Verse 3, then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. This word covenant here is it's a promise, it's a pledge, it's an allegiance. It's, I'm committing my loyalty to you. Now, this is different than the covenant that the Lord God makes with us, a perfect covenant. Remember, we've talked about that before. The Hebrew word for that is hesed. It means a steadfast love. This covenant here means between man and man, woman and woman, person to person, I'm going to swear an allegiance to you. I am with you. You're my ride or die. I'm going all in on you. I'm not gonna leave you. I'm not gonna forsake you. I'm with you. Usually in ancient covenants, it was made by the greater to the lesser. And what you would see here, Jonathan, Prince Jonathan, looks at the young boy and says, hey, he's making a covenant with him. I don't know if it was inside the tent, outside the tent, but somewhere along the lines, Jonathan looked at David and said, I'm with you. I'm with you. The prince, the one who has the kingdom, looks at the teen warrior, God's teen warrior, and says, I'm with you. Jonathan recognized that something happened in that tent when God knit their hearts together, God moved on his heart, and he says, I'm going with you. I'm with you, I'm protecting you. I'm gonna put myself before you. For my good and for the glory of God. Have you ever been in a situation where when you recognize the Lord is doing something right here in this moment? You ever been in that? Maybe it's been a church service. It may have been around a hospital bed. It may have been in a home group. It could have been anywhere. But in that moment you went, the Lord's doing something right here. I think this is what Jonathan recognized when he was standing there with David. The Lord God is doing something right here. He's just knit me together with you, David. And David, I want you to know I'm with you. You realize in our world today, friendships are what have you done for me lately? Anybody ever experienced a friendship? Like, what have you done for me lately? Like the situation where I'm your friend, and then all of a sudden it's like they've wadded you up like a used paper towel and you're no longer around. Haven't heard from them, hadn't seen them. You thought you had a friend, and then all of a sudden it feels like maybe, listen, they got everything they needed and then they walked, they bounced. You committed that you were gonna be great with them. You're gonna walk with them. You're gonna be the type of man or a woman that you actually wanted them to be to you. And yet they didn't. Maybe an argument happened. Maybe you're in a situation, maybe you got a friendship where there's an argument that has happened and now you've gotten your feelings hurt and you're stepping back and you're thinking, I ain't moving. I didn't do it. If this is gonna get fixed, they got to come to me. You see, listen, I want to encourage you. Intentional friendship, friendship that is more like family. Yeah, if we want a family of friends, if we want a family of friends, that means that we want to be loyal no matter come what may. Now, I want to be really clear. I'm not talking about blind loyalty. I am talking about loyalty that's warts and all. Like you've seen your friend and you know their shortcomings. You know, like you, listen, I have friends that know me and they know me well. And they look and they, there are days they shake their head. I can't believe you're doing it. They're not deserting me. You know what those friends do? When I get to the high weeds, you know what they do? They put their muck boots on and walk into the weeds with me to bring me out. They're not gonna bounce on me. You see, this is what Jonathan says he's going to do with David. David, the Lord God has knit us together. He's done soul work. I don't understand how it's happened, but I love you. I am with you. I'm gonna be loyal to you. If you went into verse chapter 20, sometime this week, maybe even this afternoon, I would love it if you'd go to 1 Samuel chapter 20. The world has fallen around them. David, King Saul is after David. It's come out that Saul wants to kill David. And Jonathan is in a hard spot. And he says, David, I made a covenant with you. Whoa. Jonathan could tell that his dad was not following through. He was not being godly. He wasn't doing what the Lord commanded. And he said, David, I'm with you. I've made a covenant with you. David, I know the kingdom is coming to you. When I'm gone and you have the kingdom, when all of your enemies are gone, David, remember this covenant. And David, will you take care of my family? When I'm long gone, will you take care of my family? And David said, I will. That is friendship. You know, Proverbs says that we should take care of our father's friends. That's covenant, that's commitment, that's loyalty, that's alliance, that's looking out for someone else. Folks, I know sitting in this room right here, all of us long for that type of friend. Can I ask you this? Are you being that kind of friend to someone else? Are you being an intentional, loyal friend? Are you the type that said, listen, I'm all in with you. I'm with you. I'm going with you. Come what may. I have an alliance with you. I'm not backing out. I'm not running away. Did you realize that whenever we're loyal to our friends or when we're loyal in any way, it's an example, it's a picture of our covenant God, the one who is always loyal to one, the one who will never leave us, the one who is steadfast, the one who, though we forsake him, he never forsakes us. You see, when we go all in, it's a picture of God and his characteristics. Here's the third that I want you to see though. Not only is it intentional, not only is it loyal, true friendship, a family of friends, that true friendship is sacrificial. A true friendship is sacrificial. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, and Jonathan stripped himself, and I want you to circle this. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, circle, and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Notice what Jonathan gave to his covenant friend, the one that the Lord God had knit them together. He says he gave his robe, his armor, even his sword and his bow and his belt. The word there, stripped, gives the picture. It's a word picture that he is with. All of this is happening somewhere right around David holding the head of Goliath. And the Lord God knits their hearts together. He loves him. And it says, then he stripped himself of the robe. He took his royal robe, the one that signified, I'm the prince. I'm the next in line. It says he stripped himself of the robe and he gave it to David. Gave it to David. It says that he took off his armor. That would have probably been the chest armor, the thing that protected his heart and his vital organs. He stripped it off and he gave the armor. You know, a unique thing is that two chapters previous, when David was about to go out to fight Goliath, Saul tried to give him armor and David said, I can't do this. I can't use this armor. And now all of a sudden, Jonathan says, here, you take my protective gear. David, I'm giving you, listen, my identity is now with you. What has been to protect my heart is now yours. It says, even his sword, David, his bow, his belt that held up his sword and everything, it says that he took it all off and he gave it to him. He says, listen, all the weapons that I would use to protect, listen, they're yours now. I'm with you. I don't know about you. That's the kind of friend I want. That's the kind of friend I want to be. I want that in my life. Even when it's not convenient, even when everyone else is turning away, I'm still with you. This is what it means to be a true friend, one who's intentional, one who is loyal, one who is sacrificial. Well, not just a fair weather friend, not a flaky or a fickle one, but I'm talking about one that's like family. You know, in the Goen household, Amy and I got married almost 34 years ago. We lived for about 6 months in an apartment in our hometown, and then we packed up and we moved away, never to go back. We went away to study for seminary. From seminary, we moved to Florida, and then the rest is history. We've been here now for almost 23 years. We've never lived around family. But can I tell you that the church has always been brothers and sisters? You know, I used to think it quite strange to hear going to church when I was growing up. If you grew up in a church and you heard people talk about brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, did you realize that you are my brothers and you are my sisters? The church have been aunts and uncles to me and my kids. They've been grandmas and grandpas to me and my kids. And the unique thing that now I am a grandpa and I get to watch your kids grow up. The church is what the Lord God has given us as a covenant family, to enter into an alliance so that we might be intentional with one another, so that we would be loyal to one another, so that we would lay our lives down for one another. You see, this is one of the most important relationships you'll ever have. Listen, I want you to have friendships at the ball field. I want you to have friendships in the dance troupe and at your theater group and in your clubs out in the civic organizations. But can I tell you, when they all fall away, the Lord God has given you a covenant family. This is what he's designed for us as a gift. Intentionally, so that we might be intentional one with another, so that we might be intentionally loyal to one another, so that we might lay our lives down, so that we would take our homes and open them up one to another. That might be a sacrifice for some of you, that you might take your cars and open them up and you go and spend time, pick someone up to bring them. Things that you might go, man, that's gonna be a real sacrifice. That's what friendship is about. Laying down my rights, laying down my finances, opening up my home. Listen, in today's world, you've heard it said, people, when they're talking to one another, hey, I got you. Do you know what a family of friends say to one another in the covenant community? I got you. I'm with you. I'm gonna be at your house. I'm gonna be at your bedside. I'm gonna be at your graveside. I'm gonna walk with you. I'm gonna open my wallet, my bank account, so that we walk with one another. When you're in need, I'm coming alongside. You know, when the big toe hurts, the rest of the body hurts. When you hurt, we, as a family of friends who are intentional, who are loyal, who are sacrificial, we hurt also. This is what the Lord God has given to us. But I wanna say this, for us to have those friends, we must first show ourselves friendly. If we want a brother, then we gotta be a brother. You want a sister, you gotta be a sister. You want a friend, you gotta be intentional about picking the phone up. In this body of believers, this covenant family, some of you today, you're not a part of the family. You're on the fringes, you've been watching. Can I tell you, in fact, I wanna tell all of you, do you realize that the passage that Pitts read just a little while, excuse me, Jason read just a little while ago, I've known him a long time, I'm sorry. The passage that he read just a moment ago is the overarching passage of what we're talking about right now. That there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He intentionally walked this earth. His name is Jesus. He is the truer and better Jonathan. He sacrificed, he took off his royal robes, and he stepped into time and space. He didn't count equality, something to be grasped. He laid it aside so that you and I, do you remember when Jesus said in that passage that Jason read a moment ago, he said, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. I call you friends. Jesus was loyal to his Father. He was loyal to the ones he called around him, that little group. He fed them, he walked with them, he taught them, he protected them in the midst of the storm. And when one wasn't loyal, in fact, you know what? At the end, all of them scattered, didn't they? He never failed, he never forsook any of them. He never denied them. He was intentional, he was loyal. He was sacrificial. Folks, today, some of you are in here and you want to be a friend, you want to have a friend, but you can't truly be the friend that God has designed you to be until you become a friend of Jesus. Until you surrender and submit your life to him. You're coming to Jesus, the truer and better Jonathan. And you know what? His covenant is everlasting. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will be with you through thick and thin, always. The scripture tells us that if we come to him and if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that he is who he says he is, that we will be saved. Our prayer today is that you might find him as your friend. There are this room right here is packed with people who I believe know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but you're still looking for a friend. You've been along the edges, you've been along the fringes. Can I tell you, I'm asking you, I'm challenging you, I'm imploring you, you put whatever word you want in there. Until you jump into a life group, a D group, into some sort of serving group, you're still gonna be on the fringes wondering, does anybody know me? Do I know anybody? Is this just a place I go on Sundays for a little bit of time? Listen, the Lord God intentionally brought you here so that you would intentionally connect to people who are seeking to love Jesus Christ with all of their heart, who are sacrificing for his kingdom. That's what he's called you and put you here. He wants to knit your heart together with a family of friends. I'm going to ask you to pray with me now. Lord, I'm so thankful. God, you have put us together in this place. Lord, I'm thankful for my friends here. I'm thankful for men and women who've poured into my life, who've walked with me, who've walked with my kids, who helped to raise them up. And Father, I'm asking, will you continue to bring more and more friends to this family? Intentionally, that we might love you with everything that we have. Jesus, you must be magnified today. I would ask, Holy Spirit, would you draw men and women to yourself today? Would you save them? God, would you allow men and women in this room to go out and to connect in groups and D groups and service groups? Begin to intentionally find friends. Lord, we know that this is something you do. You've brought us here. And so, Father, would you make that connection to another soul brother and a soul sister? And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things today. Amen.